there are five candidates running for two open positions on the Borough Assembly. Those candidates are Dan Henry and write-in candidates Dewey McCracken, Dave Brenna, Roger Griffin, and Philip Clark. Let's start with each candidate introducing themselves, and please talk about a specific assembly decision or borough issue that motivated you to run. As a reminder, you will be on a two-minute timer. Dave, why don't we start with you?
All right. I'd like to thank KHNS and Skagway News. My name's Dave Brenna. I'm a longtime Skagway resident. My dad came here. He worked on the Alcan. And then came to Skagway in the mid-40s. I'm running for assembly primarily because I'm concerned with an extension of the lease. I think it's a very bad thing for the community. There's a lot of money that we could earn and that could be reinvested into our waterfront if we take control of our ports ourselves. And there's a few things that that we could do. One, I'm very offended by the White Pass's position right now that says that they're not going to do the cleanup unless we agree to give them a lease extension. To me, that's not the way you do business. And there are things that we could do moving forward. I mean, we could notify them that they're in breach of contract for the contamination. We could offer, and this is a new idea, but we could offer to sublease from them land to build the dock ourselves. So we would be paying them until the expiration of the lease, the main lease in 2023. And another thing that we could do that's been fleshed out a little bit by attorneys is we could actually condemn a portion of the tidelands where it's not being currently used for anything else. And if we did that, we could build a dock and then we would owe compensation to White Pass for that property. One thing I'd like to point out that I don't think a lot of people know, I just found out today, but the urgency about the lease, Ketchikan City Council just voted not to extend their berth B, and the reason is that the larger ships are probably not coming in 18, 19, or 20. So I mean that's only two seasons away from the termination of the lease anyhow, 2023. Thank you.
Roger, the question was introduce yourself and talk about a specific assembly decision or borough issue that motivated you to run.
All right. Yeah, my name's Roger Griffin, and I've been at this table a couple times before, and it's always good to come back and good to see a lot of folks here. And thank you, Dan and Emily, for putting this on. I think you folks do a great job. But anyway, why I'm running here, it's 2 years ago, Skagway voters rejected the White Pass lease by about a 2-to-1 margin. And like a zombie, it's returned. And if this was music, it would be the same tune, but with different lyrics. The voters didn't like the music that was made 2 years ago, as they very clearly didn't, and we're listening to the same tune again today. I think it's time we need to change musicians. The current regime would have us believe that it's better for Skagway to receive $250,000 per year for our waterfront, rather than nearly $4 million per year. The current regime would have us believe that because we couldn't possibly get our waterfront act together in the 5 years before the current lease expires, that perhaps we could accomplish that task in 20 years. This is nonsense. As a frame of reference, World War II was fought and won in 4 years. The current regime will have failed in their fiduciary duty to the citizens of Skagway if the lease with White Pass is extended. Discussions with White Pass on the lease extension must be terminated now. Running for office again is not on my bucket list, but I can't stand by and watch what is going on and not do something about it. This is why I'm running for office. It's time to change musicians.
And next, Dewey.
I haven't seen this many faces looking my way since I was in high school. Thank you. The reason that I decided to run was when the period for the candidates closed, one name, two positions. Democracy doesn't work when you have that. So I thought, well, rather than complain about it, I'd use a different word, complain about it, I'll try to do something. And thank goodness, I want to thank everybody else at the table for joining.
Philip?
So obviously, I'm Philip Clark, and there wasn't one issue that got me to put my name in it. I was like Dewey and noting that there weren't really any other choices besides Dan, and I felt with two seats, he's only going to be able to fill one of those, and people should have a choice. However, I would say that while it wasn't a motivating factor in getting me to put my name in, really important issues that I do think about are housing and quality of life issues here in Skagway. Monica mentioned a lot of planning being needed in the future for how we're going to deal with, well, she was specific talking about the companies and increased businesses. I feel like we also need to plan on increased members of the community, people working here and living here. We already have a housing shortage, and I think that the community needs to do a lot more long-term planning for the future. And so that's a really important issue for me, as well as the quality of life in our very, very limited residential areas. I don't know if you've seen a map, but they're pretty small, so.
Dan?
There was two factors, I suppose. When I first came to this community, after a few years and you're observing how the community works, I came from a town of 5 million to a town of 500 and noticed that, when you get involved, all of a sudden I'm busier here than I ever was in Chicago. Everything's paid for there. Here, everything is done by volunteers. We do everything in this community. We have to depend on each other all the time to get things done, and we're all comfortable with that, certainly at least those that participate. And that doesn't mean that you have to participate, but it sure is great if you do. So I noticed that we had these two issues out there, and they're somewhat confusing because there has been so much information dispersed through social media and of all sorts. That so much of the information is inaccurate. And the curious thing about that is it's funny, not funny haha, but funny odd. Because the issue of whether we either arrive at a new agreement with White Pass or not, the viewpoint of these five individuals running for office and the two previous have absolutely zero to do with it. So you don't vote or champion any one of these candidates because they are for or against the lease. And the reason for that is very simple. You can't disenfranchise those that have voted for the lease when it was proposed before. And secondly, and most importantly, you, each one of us, get to go in to the voting booth and check yes or no. You have the power. You make that decision. So I just wanted to make sure that being that I had 19 years already in assembly volunteerism and 28 years in this community, it's just something that I've always been involved with. So to hope to get the absolute best offering that would facilitate a good future for Skagway, I thought that I would want to be involved in trying to get that accomplished. Now, it doesn't make a difference whether I'm for the lease or against the lease. It's moot. It makes a difference if you're for it or you're against it, one by one. So the only other thing I would say that, time is up. That's what I would say.
So speaking of the lease, the next question is, what is your stance on the new draft Tidelands MOU with White Pass? We'll start with Dan.
Well, I think actually where the new MOU is going is maybe fraught for defeat in the sense that it appears that social media, like it or not, is where people go to get their information. And so with that thought in mind, I would prefer, before there was an MOU, walked over to the White Pass Depot to their president for consideration, that the city of Skagway produces a website on Facebook, Instagram. Well, I don't participate in those things, but a lot of people do. And it's very apparent that they do, because there's a heavy impact on discussions when they follow an active day on those medias. Granted, the vast majority of the time, the activity that follows is grossly inaccurate, but nonetheless, the people are engaged. And so that's important. So I think what should happen, in answer to your question in short, would be get a revision of what the MOU is to be, make sure that it's solid with what the assembly, who are supposed to be the people that are immersed in all the knowledge and history of that subject, propose. That will then go to White Pass. White Pass will say yes or no, which, just like the last process, until that happens, it doesn't get to the voters. And until it gets to the voters, it doesn't matter. It's conversation. So we're all worked up until we have a final product. And that final product only gets presented. It doesn't, that final product doesn't then pass. It doesn't become law. It has to be voted on by you. And so that's where we'll go.
Just quickly, Dan, are you satisfied with the current direction of the MOU? Dissatisfied? What are your thoughts
on it? It doesn't matter what I think. I'm one vote. You're not satisfied, you vote no. I'm satisfied, I vote yes, or vice versa. We just canceled each other out. It doesn't matter what I think.
Dewey, what is your stance on the current draft, Tidelands MOU?
Well, I think it's a work in progress, and the work that's been done has really been taxing on the people that have been asked to do it. If you sit in the assembly and listen to them discussing this problem, you'll see that there are points of contention, some of them valid, some of them not so valid. But until we can agree on the assembly, that's a slip of the tongue, until they can agree on the assembly to what should be in there, people should come to the assembly and listen to the debate, listen to the points that are made, because if you're getting information from anywhere else, 99% of it doesn't reflect what's going on in the chamber.
Next, Dave?
My position on the new draft. I think it's fairly similar to the last draft. We had a referendum. The voters voted on it. They voted against it by 7 out of 10. And it's a little shorter term. The money is a little bit less. But in reality, the money that this new draft proposes is substantially less than what the city could earn if they managed their own waterfront. And I mean, I'm not talking about a little bit of money, it's a lot of money. Yeah. It's like, according to Paul Taylor's estimates, it's somewhere around $3.7 million we'd earn instead of $250,000. Now this money can go back into waterfront infrastructure development. And actually a portion of it can go elsewhere in the form of sales tax if we invoice the cruise ships directly. And it isn't rocket science to manage the dock. I mean, cruise lines, agencies of Alaska could continue to do it. We would have very minimal involvement for that huge amount of money. And then moving forward, if Carnival or somebody like that buys White Pass and then controls 100% of our waterfront, that's not a good scenario under almost any way that you think of it. I think that regardless of what it is, it's woefully as something that is good for White Pass and very bad for Skagway.
Roger.
There's the Skagway city councilor, or the assembly rather, excuse me, hired Moffitt and Nickel to do a study, and they looked at port economics, and they looked at port governance, and there's some really interesting stuff in there. I've read it, and I've studied it. And they compared the number of ports up and down the West Coast. And if you take a ratio of the gross revenue to the net revenue, I'm talking about Long Beach, Los Angeles, Oakland, Vancouver, Prince Rupert, all right? You get a ratio of gross to net of anywhere from 1.5 to 1 to 4.5 to 1. And what that means, for example, if the port takes in $1.50, after they paid their expenses, they have a dollar in their pocket, all right? Skagway is in that same ballpark. Paul Taylor did an analysis here, presented it to the assembly. It's very thoughtful, it's very considered. I encourage people to take a look at it. It's a little bit over my head. I haven't looked at some of the methods that he used in there for about 20 years, so I'm way behind the times. But there is big money out there, and the question is who gets it? Okay, does it benefit you, the people here in Skagway, or does it benefit White Pass and whoever buys White Pass? All right, $4 million in a year instead of $250,000. That's why I said in my opening comments that the assembly will have failed in their fiduciary duty if this lease goes forward to White Pass for 20 more years. This is money that belongs to Skagway. This is money that is being given to White Pass, and I am opposed to the lease, period.
Philip, what is your stance on the new draft Tidelands MOU with White Pass?
Well, this lease issue is a contentious issue. I think it kind of boils down to a couple of things: money and contamination in the harbor. So those are two big things that people are getting worked up over. And obviously, there's a lot of money involved with the port. To address the money in the agreement as it stands now, I think there needs to be more money for the city if a lease were to go ahead. I think Monica mentioned that she's opposed to the lease, but if a lease is adopted, she would work to get the best deal for the city. And I think everybody on the assembly would agree with that. That's not necessarily that they're opposed to the lease, but they would like to get the best deal for the city. So I think in that vein, the money that's outlined in the current MOU is not enough, given that obviously there's a lot more. As far as the language for the cleanup, I think the language needs to be a bit stronger. I think there needs to be a little more given from White Pass. However, that being said, Dan is correct. None of this is, it's not up to me, it's up to the voters. So if an agreement were to go to the voters and they were to pass it, I think stronger language with cleanup and more money for the municipality, to boil it down real quick.
Thank you. Do you think a new 15-year Tidelands lease with White Pass would have benefits or negative effects on the community? And please be specific about what you think those would be. And we will start with Philip.
Let's start with the benefits. Let's go to the sunny side of the street.
And please get a little closer to the microphone.
Sure. I think arguments have been made. I've had conversations with certain assembly members, and they've made arguments in support of the lease, in that it gives the municipality some stability in the coming years financially. We will be better off than we currently are financially, at least from that lease. We'll be getting more money. They'll be doing the maintenance and repairs on the docks themselves. We will be getting the uplands, though the revenue of that is still going to White Pass, with the possibility of a little bit more coming to the city. I think the benefits would be it's a slight increase in income for the municipality. and White Pass actually takes care of the maintenance, continues to. The negative side, I think, is that the city doesn't control it. They don't have the option. Right now, we don't have the ability to get in and do cleanup. We can't access. I think if the city wanted to do development on the dock, well, we don't have that option. If we were to adopt a new lease, a part of the current MOU is that we would get the upland, so we would be able to start working to develop that. So that would be a benefit as well. I think really it comes down to money is sort of the negative side. The city would stand to not get as much money.
Thank you. Dan?
The question is, how do I feel about the 15-year term?
What benefits or negative consequences do you think it would have on the community if a new 15-year lease were approved with White Pass?
I don't know that you can identify it as a negative or a positive. It just would be one component of the lease. Either it would or it wouldn't be. So if we have a 15-year lease, we then have to project how our involvement, how our interaction with White Pass, with everything that goes on down in the port affects the community. Now, Moffitt and Nichols came back with, as I understand it, their report, which basically was where the assembly was at with the Gateway project. So with that, coupled with the fact that unless something has drastically changed, what was discussed and agreed upon, not negotiated, what was discussed and agreed upon was that the sublease revenue would revert back to the city in 2023. So actually the revenue is closer to $750,000. So this is where things like this really get the subject all muddied up. I spoke to a couple of people just a few days ago, and one of them said to me, well, you know, I can't vote for this lease. I can't vote for a 35-year lease. And I said, I'm sorry, what? And he said, yeah, that's too long a lease. I said, we haven't been talking about a 35-year lease for, I don't know, forever, a year. You know, it's 15. That's what's being discussed. So if that voter was talking about 15 and how it impacts, that's what's important, not what I think. I'm one vote. My vote wouldn't be based on the 15 years. It doesn't have that much, doesn't carry that much weight with me. Again, to get the accuracy out there, and if it is a Facebook site or whatever it may be, to have the city list accurate information in all aspects is what's important.